Genesis 41. This is an exceeding long chapter tonight. I want to read most of it to you. So, do as I do when I'm listening to an excellent Bible story. Listen to it and enjoy it as part of the life of Joseph, the son of Jacob. Genesis 41, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, well favored in fat flesh, and they fed in the reed grass. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean flesh, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain came up upon 1 stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 ears thin and blasted with an east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward in the house of the captain of the guard and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in 1 night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream did he interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee, that when thou hearest a dream, thou canst interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the brink of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in the reed grass, and behold, 7 other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and ill-favored kine did eat up the first 7 fat kine, and when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears came up upon 1 stalk full and good, and behold, 7 ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them, and the thin ears swallowed up the 7 good ears. And I told it unto the magician, but there was none that could declare it unto me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, The dream of Pharaoh is one, what God is about to do, he hath declared unto Pharaoh. The 7 good kine are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one, and the 7 lean and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and also the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind. They shall be 7 years of famine. That is the thing which I spake unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he hath showed unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine which followeth, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint overseers over the land, and take up the 5th part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of these good years that come, and lay up grain under the hand of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. And the food shall be for a store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou. Thou shalt be ruler over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the 2nd chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he set him over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or his foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him the wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh, and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph laid up grain as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left off numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons, before the year of famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for, said he, God hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenty that was in the land of Egypt came to an end. And the 7 years of famine began to come, according as Joseph had said. And there was famine in all lands. But in all the land of Egypt, there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith unto you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine was sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was sore in all the earth. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, thou dost know that from the time we were children, we have been thrilled by the history of David and of Goliath and of Samson and of Joseph as well. We are thankful that what we read in thy word is not like the literature of the world, fiction. We are thankful that all of these things are words of truth, things that happened unto thy servants. And these things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And so wilt thou give us that patience and give us that comfort from the scriptures. There are young people here, Father. Let them look upon Joseph and compare him to all the youth that is set before their eyes by the world and by thy spirit. Show them what Joseph is, and show them what the world is, and help us as old people as well to look among ourselves for perhaps a gift of God like unto Joseph in our midst. And so, bless our study tonight, we pray. We look to thee for good. Undertake for us, we ask of thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. But have me in thy remembrance when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me before Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. That is the request that Joseph made of the butler, whose dream was interpreted in such a glorious way, that the butler would be restored, and the butler would give into the hand of Pharaoh the cup once again. And the story ends, but the butler remembered not Joseph, but forgot him. Now, is this a blessing, or is it a curse in the life of Joseph? I think at the present, nothing like this experienced by a young man can be interpreted and understood as a blessing. But if we know Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good, and we believe that, and we trust in God year after year, then we can take it as a blessing. If not, we can think that we are abandoned, we are forgotten as dead people, out of mind. But if as Joseph we have faith in God and never lose sight of the dreams that God gave us in our extreme youth, then we can survive. And by hindsight, we see that had the butler remembered and acted at that time, it would not have been a promotion and elevation of Joseph, but it would have been a demotion of Joseph, a setback according to all that God had foretold to Joseph in his dream. Because God not only told Pharaoh what was going to come to pass, but he told Joseph as a young man when he was 17 years old what was going to come to pass as well. And now 13 years have transpired, and those years have consisted of slavery and imprisonment, But it looked for a while as if only 11 years were going to transpire, because now I have a friend, and this man can give me standing in the sight of Pharaoh. But let us think. Suppose the butler had remembered at that time and told Pharaoh about this remarkable young Hebrew who was able to interpret accurately dreams, and Pharaoh had arranged for his freedom from prison. What would have happened? I have no doubt that Joseph's heart would have rejoiced. What man who, having spent 11 years in prison, would not desire freedom? And perhaps he would have gotten out and enjoyed freedom and found some ordinary wife, or returned back home to see his old father and to get things settled with his brethren. God knows what would have done. But Joseph did not have that experience, but the Lord left him 2 more years in prison. Now, do you realize that something similar to this happened in the New Testament? It came to mind. It said after 2 full years, then Pharaoh had a dream. And when Paul was put in prison, you remember in Acts chapter 22, he was arrested. It says, after 2 years were fulfilled, Felix left Paul in prison. And so Paul knows what it is to be in prison. And after 2 years, he desired to be released, but he was not released, because God had things for him to do in Rome, and God had things for him to do in prison. And in like manner, God had to wait for the right time before he had Joseph released from prison. If we could only see that. We want to be released now. But God says, not now. The timing isn't right. When judgment comes, we cry unto God, how long, O God, wilt thou not avenge me of mine adversaries? But God says, the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. And Lord, I have been in prison 11 years. I have been a slave all this time. And God says, not yet, not yet. And so 2 full years, Joseph is apparently forgotten. But God has not forgotten him. God has stored in the mind of that butler what happened to him when he was in prison. And just at the right time, a flash of remembrance is put into the mind of that butler when no one can interpret Pharaoh's dream. And he said, I do remember my faults this day. And this man who had been so long in prison, in a moment is brought out of prison and is made to stand before Pharaoh. And when he stands before Pharaoh, he is 30 years of age. And our Savior, when he was manifested publicly to Israel, was 30 years of age. No doubt a divine coincidence. But our Savior had been trained in Nazareth as a carpenter, and Joseph had been trained in his father's house, and also as a slave in Potiphar's house. And now, as a prisoner, as keeper of the prison. And God says, now, you are ready to represent me and stand before Pharaoh. Go and talk to him. And when this man, he's 30 years of age, when he is called, he stands before the greatest monarch in the world known at that time, with full dignity and understanding, without embarrassment, without hesitation. He is able to tell the leading monarch of the world what no one else is able to tell him. But more than that, he is not only able to interpret his dream, but he is also now prepared to accept the responsibilities that Pharaoh is going to place upon him, without being overtaken by the snare of the devil, because God says concerning those that are to bear great burdens, not a novice, lest being puffed up, they be overtaken by the snare of the devil. And so this young man, who had stayed in prison so long, now, when he is brought before Pharaoh, when he is put to this test, and when momentarily the burden of the land of Egypt and of the world is placed upon his shoulders, he is prepared. But it took God 30 years before he said, now, Joseph, send him out early. And he was able to interpret the dream, but not at that time to contain the honor bestowed upon him. And so, young people, you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And you have need of patience that God might prepare you. Of course, there are things that you know now. But you are like those, the one who knew that a battle was going on and something was happening, but he wanted to run before he had anything definite to tell. And he was discouraged, but he had to go. And so he ran with a message, and he said, what do you have to tell me? And he said, I saw this and that. Well, give me some details. I don't know anything else. Stand to the side. And so God wants all of his servants prepared fully, so that when we stand before the rulers of the world, we can stand before them as equals. We can stand before them not needing them to free us, and that is the end of it. Not only can they do something for us, but we can give them a freedom about which they know nothing. And this is a responsibility that can bring proud. Pride can puff up a man, can destroy a man, especially 30 years of age. But God knows how to keep him humble and to fill his heart with gratitude. And so in God's time, he says, now, Joseph, you are ready. And I marvel at how fully prepared this man was. Here is one who not only was able to interpret that dream, but who saw in a moment the history of Egypt and of the world for 14 years. He saw exactly what had to be done, how it should be carried out. He gave Pharaoh the advice that should be taken. Pharaoh said, interpret my dream. He not only interpreted the dream, but he told him what was going to happen in world history and how to avoid disaster because of the 7 years of famine that would come and eat up all the 7 years of plenty. And just as I told you, that in the case of the first master of Joseph, he was Potiphar's servant. It says Potiphar looked at him, and he said, I know that God has blessed me because of you. There's no doubt. I can see that in you. And so he elevated the man. He's put into prison. And the keeper of the prison looks at him and he says, I know that God is with you. There is something about you that is different. Now, think. Here is a man who has a dream, the greatest monarch in the world, and an unknown prisoner who has been a slave is brought out of prison and brought before Pharaoh and tells him this fantastic story as to what's going to happen the next 14 years. And Pharaoh says, I believe you, and you are just the man to do what you told me should be done in the land of Egypt. You see the confidence that God instilled in the heart of that man. That is what is so remarkable. And this is what God does. I've read again and again that God causes this one and that one to find favor in the eyes of others. And do not think that because the world is not saved, they are not able to see that the Spirit of God is in you. Even though Pharaoh may not have known fully, and how much did Old Testament characters know the meaning of it, but he said, here is a man in whom the Spirit of God is, and you are the one that I want to set over all the land of Egypt. But he did more than that. He said, I'm not only going to set you over all of this business, but I'm going to elevate you to the place at my right hand in all the land of Egypt. Everyone is answerable to you. There is only one man that is greater than you in Egypt, and that is I, when I sit upon the throne. You are ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now, this one who had his father to place upon him a robe of many colors, but that was taken off of him, and he put on prison garb. Now, this prison garb is taken off, and Pharaoh says, take my signet ring and put it on him, and put a gold chain on him, and adorn him in the finest vesture, and let him ride in the second chariot. And when he goes up and down the land of Egypt, you let them bow the knee to this man, Joseph. And this is in a moment of time. Do you see the miracle of it? Here is a man who has waited 13 years, and in a day's time, he is exalted to the second highest position in the world. That is the way God works. Now, some of us want promotions day by day immediately. This is the way we go at it. We have to take a little step here and a little step there, and finally we get higher and higher. But instead, God says you're going lower and lower. And having reached the bottom, God says, now I'm going to exalt you to the highest place in the land next to Pharaoh. And this is the way God works. And then Joseph would think back and would say, am I glad that that butler forgot to tell anything to Pharaoh about me? Look at where I am now. And so would you. You wouldn't know it at the time. You would say, I'm so glad this man remembered. But then if you knew what had been missed, but you do not know. And so wait God's time, because I can assure you that the two additional years of waiting, when you think that all has been forgotten by God and by man, God is not forgotten. God is not doing something for you, but God is doing something in you, that when the time comes that he might do something with you, you are fully prepared. And so Joseph was fully prepared. How remarkable. And I'm thinking this. He was not in the least afraid to acknowledge to Pharaoh the source of his ability. Would there not be a tendency to want Pharaoh to think something special of us? Here is a man who can interpret dreams. And when he's brought before Pharaoh, I hear that you can interpret dreams when you hear them. Joseph said, it is not in me, but God is able to interpret dreams. Do you see the humility of the man? And this is the true mark of a man that is gifted by God. He does not humbly say, oh, well, I'm fair at interpreting dreams. Yes, I know a little bit about it. He knows exactly what he's able to do. He said, I can interpret your dream. And not only that, I can tell you exactly how to work out the circumstances that your dream is telling me is going to come upon the earth. I can do all of this, and yet it is not in me. God is the one who is going to answer your dream, and God will give you an answer of peace. That is what the true gifted child of God can do. He can say, it is not of myself. You do not have to have the world to think so highly of you. Just let the world look upon you and say, this man can do what he does because he is gifted of God. The Spirit of God is in the man. You do not have to worry about the world setting you aside. And then, it is not pride. If someone says, oh, can you perform this task? Can you accomplish this? Yes, I can do it. It's not pride. It is simply an acknowledgement that God has given you this gift and you are aware of it. But you say, it is not in me to interpret the dream. But, as we say in Paul, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so this is what Joseph in the Old Testament says. He said, I can interpret dreams. I can do all of these things, but it is because the grace of God is with me. God works through me. And therefore, this man is not pride. He speaks the truth. But at the same time, there is true humility. And so let that be a characteristic of all of you who have some gift. If you excel in schoolwork, do not say falsely, perhaps I can do this or that. It's not that way at all. If God at times enables me to preach well, I say, that was a fine sermon I gave tonight. And I'm just as objective when it is a poor sermon. I say, I got by the skin of my teeth tonight. I honestly say before God. It's no bragging. You simply know when God assists you. That is what is so fine. That is what will take you through the world. You see, there are some who say, what kind of preaching must I do to be accepted unto the people? What will make them think that I am a great preacher? You never have to do that. You simply wait before God and search the scriptures, and then when God says, this is the portion I want you to speak. You prepare as best you are able and pray to God for ability to speak, and then you speak as the oracle to God, and it doesn't matter whether the people like it or dislike it. If God has spoken through you, this is what they are supposed to receive. And it's not that you are to be promoted, but you are to speak as the oracles of God. And so it is with Joseph. This is what I'm telling you, Pharaoh. Oh, and so you don't like it that a famine is going to come upon the land? You don't believe that? He had nothing like that to say. He said 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And Joseph is one who believed that God was the God of nature, the only one who could bring to pass a forecast of 14 years accurately is one who had a sovereign God behind him. What if there had been only 2 years of plenty and then the famine came? Or what if there had been only 5 years of plenty and then 10 years of famine? But it was not that way. It was exactly as Joseph said. And God, who knew what nature was going to do, saw to it that nature produced the fat kind and the fat grain for those 7 years. And then what if after that there had continued to be years of plenty? What would have been the fate of Joseph, who had been exalted so high? He would have been demoted. But then in that 8th year, the famine came, and the 9th year, and the 10th year, and everything was exactly the way that God had told Joseph it would come to pass. And that's the only time that we can ever speak with any assurance, if we know that God has said this thing. Unless you've read the New Testament, you do not know it. But when Elijah said, "There shall not be dew nor rain, but according to my word," we are told that he had prayed that it rain not. And evidently God had said, "I'm going to answer your prayer, Elijah." And in answer to Elijah's prayer, it did not rain. And then, this is the marvel, that Elijah said to Ahab, "It is going to rain." And then he went into the presence of God and started praying for that rain to come. And so God is he who, when a man prays, can control nature and hold back the rain. And then the rain that has not fallen for those years, a man can pray to God and God will send rain. And so the Lord said, "Pharaoh, I want you to know what's going to happen." And you say, "Well then, God is so concerned about Pharaoh?" No. God is concerned with the fulfillment of the dreams that he had put in the mind of his servant Joseph. And the way that they were going to be brought about was the strange, unpredictable way that we read in this account that we've read. And so this man, Joseph, is like unto the sun and the moon and stars bowing down unto him. How could that ever come to pass? Why, only if he was the most exalted ruler next to Pharaoh in the world. Well, how is this thing going to come to pass? Why, by your brothers selling you into slavery, and by your being maligned and cast into prison, and by your staying there until you are 30 years of age, and at that appropriate moment being brought forth. That's the way it's going to come to pass. And Joseph looks back over his life, and he sees the hand of God, and he says, "This is the way that God worked in my life." And the marvel is this, it's so thrilling, I must anticipate it and tell it to you. As Joseph's father, Jacob, said to him, "Shall indeed your mother and I bow down to you?" And now Jacob thinks his son Joseph is dead. And he gets a message sent back from the dead. And he says, "Thy son Joseph is ruler over all Egypt. Come down to me." And what happened to his dream? Why, they were fulfilled. And that is what God is going to do with us. The dreams of Joseph, and now for us, the promises of God in this world. Here we are. We are slaves. We are outcasts. We are the scum of the earth. And what about all of these dreams The Lord Jesus has said to the 12, he said, you shall sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And what about the rest? The day will come when we shall receive the crown of righteousness, the crown of joy, the crown of rejoicing. It doesn't look that way now. But the Lord Jesus says concerning those, he said, I call those Jews before you, and I will make them bow down, and I will make them to know that I have loved you. And so at the time, it doesn't look like it. At times, it looks as if God has forgotten us. But God has not forgotten us. God is working all things together for good. And just as God had foretold that the man Joseph was going to be over all the earth, so God has told us that a greater than Joseph is going to be over all the earth. And then those that are his loved ones, Joseph says, come down to me. He shares his glory with his brethren, and our Savior shall do the same. Have patience in time. God shall bring it to pass. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that thou hast shown us in the lives of thy saints of old that all that you promise is ultimately fulfilled. The world laughs and says, we shall see what shall become of this dreamer. The world says that, but we see what has become of this dreamer. And the world has crucified thy son, and that is the last it ever saw of thy son. But thou hast told us that you're going to exalt him to your right hand. You have said concerning him, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And we are looking forward to the day when thy Son shall be manifested to the world. He shall ask, and he shall come, and he shall assume his rightful place over all the earth. And only thou, Father, shall be his superior. And at that time, he shall deliver all up to thee. We are thankful for that glorious day when the famine shall come to an end, our God, and thy Son shall reign. We give thee thanks that we are part of this through faith in him, and may this be the portion of all who are here.